Welcome to Podcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Podcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to Practice Plan's podcast. With me today is Amit Julka. My name's Hazel Dockery. Amit, thank you very much for joining us. Would you just introduce yourself so we know a bit more about you, please?
My name's Amit Julka, and I'm the proud owner of Abbey House Dental. And that's a practice that has been going since 2012.
Right, great. Now, your practice is mixed at the moment. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we've got multiple practices and the original practice is mixed, yeah.
Okay, so when did you decide that you were going to make a move towards private practice or introduce private practice into your practice?
So my journey to going private took a number of years. Started off as predominantly an NHS dentist and I trained in implants or trained in sedation. So we wanted to offer our patients a more high level private service. So over the kind of years, we felt that there was a need to do the more high value treatments and introduce private dentistry. Yeah. So I think within kind of 2-3 years of buying the practice, we started more and more private work. And that's kind of what ultimately led us to having our own plan.
Right. Okay. So when you actually decided to introduce the plan, was it principal-led conversion or how did you do it?
It was principal-led. So we sent letters to all the patients that I'd previously seen and just stated that we'll be going private thereafter and another dentist would be taking over. We got quite a lot of NHS patients that did go private with me and continued. But there was surprisingly, interestingly, some of the patients you actually thought that would have gone with you didn't. So it's always a bit hit and miss, really. You can't really predict who's going to go with you and who's not. But I think there was a lot of fear that a lot of patients would be upset by the situation. And yeah, we got a few patients that were upset, but it wasn't as many as I thought it would be. So I'm quite clearly not as important as I thought I was.
That's a bit of a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? So how was it that you decided that you were going to keep it as a mixed practice rather than just go all in with private?
We have a fairly substantial NHS contract with a number of UDAs. So the contract value is so high that I didn't really want to part with that in terms of practice value. So, and we at the time were building another private building. So we had another building across the road that we were converting to fully private. So we felt that we could offer both services and keeping them kind of separate within that kind of structure. So if patients wanted more private dentistry, they could go to the other building.
Right. Okay. So I suppose it gave you greater flexibility then in that case.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so what would you say has been the main benefit of going private for you? How has that affected your business?
So, yeah, I mean, since going private, we have substantially increased our revenue. We've increased our team. We've been able to develop a much larger team as there's more different services that you're offering. So I think the skill mix has increased significantly with our therapy team leading their way. We've got treatment coordinators that are able to scan and do sedation assessments. So just by making that move to private, you're offering loads of different services, which in turn increase your team capabilities and ultimately offering a much, much better service for your patient.
Yeah. And, you know, and what do patients tell you that they think is the benefit of going private rather than NHS?
I think the number one thing is the variety of treatments that are on offer. The cosmetic side is crucial. Being able to have dental implants, sedation, all of these things at their own convenience. We also offer out of hours, kind of late nights and Saturdays as well. So private patients like those timings. And I think it's just a much more relaxed and more patient-led service rather than kind of target-driven service.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of dentists tell us that, you know, and also the benefit that they see as well is that they're able to spend more time with their patients and get to know them better as well. So how did it it's a big deal, isn't it, actually handing back an NHS contract, even if it's only part of it. What were your sort of feelings around it? Were there any nerves, or was it just, no, I'm perfectly confident this is going to work?
Yeah, I mean, I was just confident that this is the type of dentistry I wanted to offer. So that was inevitably the route that I took. And ultimately, over the years progressed. I mean, this was kind of, I went private 7-8 years ago now, but just 2 years ago, I went implant only. So I went through another journey of going implant only. And I think as we're kind of a multi-site practice now, being able to cater for lots of different types of patients was important to us. So we've got our Invisalign implant type of patient, we've got our regular practice plan patients who are on the plans, and then you've got your NHS patients, and that is delivered by kind of the younger NHS team. So our associates almost go through a transition of joining us as an NHS associate. They grow their skills, we mentor them in lots of different things, and then they kind of move forward into private dentistry. So I think it's a really good setup, I feel, in terms of training other dentists.
It's funny, because although you've got all these sort of like modern techniques and, you know, you're extending the skills and everything, it feels like quite a traditional journey for a dentist to go through that. You know, you sort of like, you start off in the NHS doing you prove yourself in the NHS, and then you move on to the other stuff. It's how common do you think that journey is these days?
I think my generation, it's very common, that process, but the new generation don't seem to want to do any NHS work. And so we do struggle to recruit NHS dentists. And I think there's an appetite for the younger generation to just go straight into cosmetic dentistry, which is worrying because, you know, the 1 year, 2 years out of university without having done any kind of substantial dentistry, knowing what works, what doesn't work. So from my perspective, I think the journeys that we went through 5-10 years ago was kind of the right pathway. As we got more experience, we did more private dentistry. But, you know, I think many people would agree that the younger generation can't wait anymore, and they just want to go straight into it and do the advanced procedures from day one.
It's quite worrying in a way.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's important that there's good mentoring and good training for these things. They're not just going on their own and doing these treatments from day one.
How do you actually separate out your patients? Have you got an NHS surgery and then you've got your private building separate? I mean, or do you have patients mixing in the waiting room?
Yeah, so in our location in Stone, Staffordshire, we've got three buildings. So the first building is NHS dentists working in there, and that's a 5-surgery practice. Then across the road is our hygiene and therapy building. So that building has NHS patients that are being referred for therapy work, but also has our private patients that are having hygiene, private hygiene services and plan hygiene. And then we have a third building, which is again 5 surgeries, which is purely private high-end dentistry, which has, you know, our CT scanners, our iTero scanners, and all of the gadgets that you'd kind of expect a private practice to have. So it's kind of a nice split. So if a patient knows what they want, it's kind of an easy way. It also gives the hygiene and therapy team empowerment that they've got kind of their own area and their own team as well.
I mean, it sounds like you've got a great setup there. What are your plans for the future?
Well, we recently opened up a squat in Stoke-on-Trent.
Right.
Which was open in August, and that was a 5-surgery practice similar to the last one, but with the difference of having a whole academy built on the top of it. So we've got conference facilities, we've got training rooms, and off the back of that is to do more and more courses. So we've started to do a few. We've kind of ventured into composite bonding. We've done a day on how to increase your dental implants, how to increase your Invisalign numbers, and we've got one coming up with one of my colleagues, Bobby Bandel, and how to build a squat dental practice. And that's coming in April.
Right. So can you foresee a day where you're no longer a wet fingered dentist?
Yes, I can. I mean, at the moment, my timetable is effectively I do 1 week clinical, and then the next week I'm completely admin only. So I'm only working clinical every alternate week. And the clinical dentistry that I'm doing is probably 95% just mentoring and not really seeing my own patients. So I don't think I'll ever stop being a wet finger dentist, because I enjoy that aspect of it. And I think as a mentor, you can't mentor unless you're in it and doing it. But yeah, I think seeing my own patients is almost coming to an end, and more of being a full-time mentor and trainer.
Gosh. So you've actually come quite a long way in the past few years, really, haven't you, from when you were just NHS only and then, you know, introduced. Yeah. So what advice would you give to someone who's thinking, I'm in NHS now, I want to introduce private dentistry? What would be your sort of like three top tips for them?
Do it sooner rather than later. I think we all procrastinate quite a lot with these decisions, thinking that patients are not going to be happy and you're going to get complaints and how are you going to manage all of that? And in reality, a lot of patients that you thought, you know, a lot of patients will join you and they will go private with you. And those that don't, as long as they're being catered for, it's fine, you know, but you've just got to go on what you want to be doing and the type of dentistry you want to be offering your patients. I think the other thing is not to worry about being booked up as much as you used to. As an NHS dentist, I remember my books were kind of filled up for 3 to 6 months with no space to get anything in. And I was used to that. So I felt like I was a productive dentist working really, really hard. When you switch to private, you kind of booked up, you know, 3-4 weeks in advance. So still fairly good. And some of the younger private dentists are booked up 1 to 2 weeks in advance. But the getting comfortable with that means that you're actually more productive and, you know, your turnover naturally increases. And also your service to your patients is really good as well, because patients get their treatment sooner rather than waiting the 3 months. And I think that was a hurdle for a lot of dentists, because they get so scared of the diary being a bit more gappy. But ultimately, you know, you're more efficient. And the third thing is embracing the team. I think the team is critical for your success. You have to get everybody on board, including the reception team, the nurses, so that all believe in it. If everybody part of that chain believes that the path that you're taking is the right path, then it's just a much easier conversion for your patients and getting them involved. A lot of patients will just have a lot more time to speak to a treatment coordinator or a nurse than yourself. So one of the things that we did was we always made sure that we had a nurse available so that patients could talk about it after my appointment, so that there was a bit more free time. Because as a dentist, yeah, we've got a few minutes, 10 minutes here and there, and you're busy on to the next patient. But some patients need that time. So having a free member of staff just so that they can talk through their options, the plan options, the NHS options, I think is really important.
Brilliant. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks.